We're on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. Welcome everybody to 2016 Stories on Entrepreneurship, and we are big into publishing stories. You can find us on the web on Radio Entrepreneurs. Type it into your smartphone, get the app, and listen to us anytime. I was listening to us from Europe. People were shocked when I showed them that they could listen to me as I was standing right in front of them.
How did we sound?
We sounded fine. Alex has been working on the app. He's been cleaning it up. He's been doing his work.
Well, you can hear us anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. And you can watch us anywhere in the world on YouTube. Why don't you introduce our next guest? And that was Peter Myerson talking from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Myerson, and Plout. Joining me, as he has frequently over 2015 and hopefully more in 2016.
It's always fun, Jeff. Why don't I introduce the next guest?
Great.
Who I met at a show and was very impressed with his art. Our next guest is Paul Noyan of Paul Noyan Photographs. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Peter likes art. So what was it about you that he liked?
Maybe you can tell me, Peter, what it was about me that you liked. But was it my style, my presentation, the professionalism of my booth? What was it, Peter?
I think all three, actually. Yeah. It drew my wife's attention and mine as well, with the uniqueness of your art, which is, I think, quite unique photographs. And the time lapse photographs really were impressive.
Thank you. So my style involves a lot of shooting at times when people aren't shooting. So I do a lot of low light photography. I do a lot of photography in pitch black sometimes, and I'm just making use of what little available light sometimes that there is, like starlight, moonlight, just the very shreds of sunlight that appear on the horizon before dawn and after dusk. And to do that, I require long exposures. And because of that, it brings out color that people don't see in regular photographs. And it brings out a certain atmosphere that a lot of people don't see. So it really creates a unique look. And I think that's the way a lot of people identify me, is this low light, long exposure landscape photography.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do justice to describing, you know, how unique your art is. But it was really quite impressive to see various levels of light, various levels of color in very unique situations in such a broad format. And, you know, I don't know that I've seen that before. So, I mean, I guess my question would be, how did you come to start doing that?
He knows how to work the aperture.
Yeah, that's part of it.
This is more than aperture. This is sort of a design.
And you know how to use a tripod. Are you using film or are you digital?
I'm digital now.
You're digital now?
I'm digital now, yeah. I started when I was a 12-year-old in film. That was in the very early 90s.
Couple years ago.
No, yeah. Sometime in the early 90s, back in the tail end of what we would consider the film era.
Right.
And so, yeah, I have a lot of experience. I photographed with my dad when I was little. From that point, I was basically dad-taught and self-taught. And using a tripod is a big part of it. And kind of over the years, I was just looking for ways to do photography that wasn't so conventional. And it required a little bit more of a planned approach. So I think a lot of people don't realize that my photography has so much kind of forethought that goes into it. So I'll think of the shot that I need to make. And then I basically have to map out a location. I have to look at tide tables if the shot is on the ocean. I have to look at the moon phase. The sunrise, sunset is obvious, of course, but then the moon phase, if I want to make shots involving moonlight, if I want to make shots using the Milky Way, it's got to be during the summer at a certain time when the Milky Way appears vertically in the south. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and that goes into a lot of this technique that I will eventually teach to students that I have, is how to plan for shoots, how to research for shoots. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just showing up with a camera.
Do you teach?
I do, yeah. I teach private lessons in the South Shore and in the Boston area. And I also have a workshop and tour business dedicated entirely to teaching photography in multi-day workshops for photographers of all levels, which I call Blue Hour Photo Ventures.
You know, I used to manage a camera store when I was in college. And
I will instead of talking about your physical attributes, Jeffrey,
or lack of,
or lack thereof, Jeffrey is a wonderful photographer.
Not like you. Well, because I have a room that's a replica of my African safaris, and it usually gets people's eyes. But, you know, I've become lazy with cameras over the years because I have the new Nikon and I have a great zoom lens.
Yep.
I put everything on automatic, on no shake. I zoom to my distance. I push a button like an old Kodak Brownie, and I get a perfect picture.
Yeah.
And I can then I push a button, and it downloads right to my phone all the pictures. It's I just don't know why it's so hard for me to want to think again with a camera. They've made it so easy to take such high quality pictures. And what do you do with people like me? Spank them.
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, it's very easy to take perfect pictures with modern technology. I mean, cameras are so smart now. We don't really have to do any thinking to just get the picture that is what we see, right? But then there's a whole nother level of photography, I feel, which is just using the camera for what it is, which is a light gathering device that isn't meant to capture what you see, right? Because if I take a picture at night and people ask me, well, did it really look like that? I'm like, well, it's the dark. What is it supposed to look like, right? So this kind of opens you up to a whole new world of photography that isn't just replicating what you see with the eye, right? Because the eye kind of basically shuts down in the dark. You don't see color anymore. You basically, if you're lucky, just see silhouettes. But when you trigger a camera on manual mode and you know what you're doing and you can drag out that exposure time, you get something that equates to a visual fantasy land, kind of, right?
Well, that's it. I shoot reality.
Yeah.
And you're shooting reality too, but you're pushing the camera's ability to replicate that reality.
Yeah, and you might say it's kind of at the margins of what photography is, right? Because there's kind of like a central zone to photography where you're using very average shutter speeds, typical light conditions, and you're creating a scene that more or less looks like what you would see. You know, even an iPhone could do that. But if you have like a camera that really, you know, caters to your creativity, it lets you be in control of it fully, then it opens you up to that other world of photography, which is a lot more interpretive and a lot more artistic. And I guess if I were to say, why do my pictures sell? It's because I'm making the ones that people can't make, right? That on auto, right? And that's why people would buy mine, because these days anybody can buy a camera for relatively
cheap. I mean, I have this experience with a lot of people with cameras. You can put a good camera in someone's hand. That doesn't mean they're going to take a good picture.
That's right.
They don't understand perspective.
And so,
or framing, or a lot of
that's
things.
That's what I mean, right.
Yeah. Yeah, and in a world where anybody, you know, supposedly can be a photographer, you differentiate yourself with a more artistic approach, I think, you know. So it's not, you know, anybody seemingly can be there with a camera at the right time, but to capture that uniquely, that's what would sell, in my opinion.
Is there one place you've gone? I mean, some of your photographs really are of quite unique places. Is there one place you've gone that you would say is the most unique? Has produced the most unique photographs?
New Zealand is one of those places.
Oh, everybody says New Zealand's the most beautiful country in the world. If you can get there.
Yeah, yeah. So it takes two solid days just to get there. And then once you're there, you need to spend at least 3 weeks, I would say, or else you're not doing it justice, right?
The typography is spectacular, correct?
It is. If you take an entire continent and you shrink it into an island, then you get something like the South Island of New Zealand. And you also get a place like Iceland, which is another one of my favorite destinations, right? And it's just, I think what makes it so great is that you can get in a car and drive around and see everything from volcanoes to glaciers to hot springs to open meadows within the span of a couple days. So
you're taking those, so you like landscapes, but you're using the light to your advantage to create your unique look, correct?
That's right. And so there's that dimension to it. There's the topography, there's the location, there's the obvious appeal of what the place is, and then there's the way in which you render it to make it look like something that people don't necessarily see with their eye or with their iPhones, right?
So how do you convert this to money? I mean, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So the one thing I realized was that the landscape of modern art and especially modern photography has changed. So the days where somebody could make limited edition prints using an enlarger in a darkroom and selling them for thousands of dollars as limited editions, that era has kind of passed by. There are maybe a dozen photographers in the world who can still pull that off. And they are doing so because they always did. Right?
They have a brand.
Yeah, and they're kind of like they were in place. They still have a client base. People are still buying them. But as a newer photographer, you know, a younger photographer, I've realized that the way to make money now, you can't do that anymore. The, you know, digital prints are very easy to make, so you can't expect that you will print something out and sell it for thousands of dollars anymore. So the market has changed to being able to sell a volume. So you have to sell more prints at a lower cost, and you're competing against photographers who are selling things on art.com or Etsy for $35, right? So who's going to go out and buy a digital print, you know, even if it is a spectacular one, when they can buy something at 90%, you know, the perceived quality for $35. So that's essentially what I do. I do digital prints and I sell them open edition. They are signed, but they are open edition. And I sell them at art shows and I sell them online at affordable consumer prices where people can buy it and put it into their homes and not have to think too much about it.
So, Paul, if somebody wants to see your art, find it, find you, how would they do that?
Well, the best way to see all of my work is on my website, www.paulnguyenphoto.com.
That's N-G-U-Y-E-N.
Yep, so it's PaulNguyenPhoto.com. And that's where you can see all my artwork, and you can also see a schedule of all the things I do. So all of my art shows are on there because I do art shows pretty much every weekend when I'm not shooting from April through, you know, Christmas Eve. So that's how I get my work out there. And I also have a list of all the workshops and tours that I teach on my website, because that website links to Blue Hour Photo Ventures, which is my tour and workshop website.
Well, Paul, thanks for being on the show today. A different type of entrepreneur, Peter Meyerson. Thank you very much for bringing him. And that is Peter Meyerson, my co-host for the show.
He's great.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.